1 Peter chapter 2. Hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Bible, by the way, saith to the churches. And these are the words of God, and we're not just reporting them, we're not just meditating on them, but we're preaching the good news, the gospel, which we preach every week. The good news and the gospel has to be set forth by Peter, just like Paul, just like all the other writers of the New and Old Testament. They actually, without knowing it, a lot of them, without knowing it, they were actually preaching under the law the gospel. They were preaching under the law the gospel. In other words, the promises of God are, that is, the gospel. All those promises that God has made. So, all of this agrees. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. All right, now, to lay something aside means to put it down, to remove it from your life. So, wherefore, let us lay aside, let us set aside, let us remove it from us forever, all malice. All malice means all malice. How can you do that? The gospel. You can do that by the gospel. So if there's any malice in you, any maliciousness, any injury that you intend to perform on someone, lay that aside. Don't do that. You're a Christian now. You're born again of the Spirit. You're being filled every day with the Spirit, and you shall be daily, including today, led of the Spirit. So this is a spiritual truth preached to spiritual people that are born again. You're actually regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ, which has made his New Testament, made his New Testament when he died, in effect. So it's effectual law right now, not in your soul completely, not in your body completely at all. Your body sometimes fulfills the Word of God. Your soul often fulfills the Word of God, but not always. Donum partum means you have the partial gift in your heart, full. But you don't see the rest, and there's a reason for that. He doesn't want you to see it until you're clean. So your soul is not yet cleansed. You've been forgiven. God is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. But, however, you're not cleansed fully from all your sins. So even though your heart is new, perfect, that love has not been perfected in the rest of your soul and definitely in your body. So donum totum is not until he drinks, listen carefully, not until he drinks anew the Last Supper in heaven itself. And that means a lot of things have to happen before that happens. So you don't have yet eternal life fully. You have it donum partum, not donum totum. So, do you understand what I just said?
Yes.
He said, and this is in all the Gospels except John, but it's actually in John 2. You don't know where it's hidden, but it's hidden in John. It's hidden in the John. But it's in all the others where it says, I won't drink this Last Supper. I don't eat the food of this Last Supper until we do it anew in the kingdom of God. So the kingdom hasn't come. It's come in your heart. It's coming in your soul, but it hasn't yet come even in your body in fullness. Did you understand what I just said? So lay aside all malice. Why? It's easy. Because Jesus laid it aside.
Amen.
And he is your righteousness. Jesus laid it aside. And he is your righteousness. So now you can speak that today without fear of hypocrisy. You can just say to somebody with words and deeds, with words followed by deeds, you can say, I'm a new creation, so therefore I speak to you in the Spirit. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to, because it's true whether you believe it or not. Your faith doesn't make it true. Your faith is based upon its trueness. And when you read it, faith cometh by hearing, then you have faith, but only in your heart, and now beginning in your soul, it's still going on, and then someday you'll have a new body that can ride on clouds. You don't have that yet. You don't have that yet. That's when you go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, by the way. The marriage supper of the Lamb is where you eat and drink the Last Supper again. When I drink and eat of the fruit of the vine. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about eating and drinking in heaven according to the kingdom of God. So you have not yet seen the kingdom of God. Not a problem. Be patient. Be patient. God has to have a clean people. You are not yet cleansed. Your heart is pure. Your soul is not pure. Sometimes Christians sin. I don't know if you've noticed that. Sometimes they're malicious. Christians actually can be mean and malicious and bitter and so on and so forth. So that's not a problem. Just forgive it. Just forgive it. Just as we forgive fellow Christians, we also forgive everybody. We forgive everybody, everybody. And being David's birthday today, I'm sure he's already started that. Forgiving everybody who has ever been malicious toward him. I can't even remember. That's good. It's erased from his memory because of being born again. He's so happy about being born again that even though his soul hasn't caught up yet. The soul, there's a lag between having faith and faith active in love. There's a lag. You haven't been perfected in love yet. When perfect love arrives, he'll come back. The minute he sees that you have perfect love, he's cleansed you. He's faithful and just to forgive you. That's chair four. But now he's also cleansing you from all unrighteousness. All means like all. So wherefore then you can lay aside malice. Lay aside. Now he has another word here. And all guile. All guile. So you're guilty now in your soul and in your body. So when you sin, you don't sin from the heart. I'm going to say that again. When you sin, you're sinning from the soul, which affects the body. And so the body just depends upon the soul. What are you meditating on? How renewed are you in your soul every day? And you have to do this daily, by the way. You have to daily renew your mind. Daily. You have to be forgiven for sin. Daily. If you don't have any sin, you don't have to, but you do have it. But in your soul, not in your heart. Your heart is indicting. Your heart is meditating on the mercy of God, the grace of God, which has saved you, and you have a new heart. Everyone else is trying in their body to establish merit on the side of God. But God does not see merit in your sinful body. Your body is still tempted. I don't know if you know it or not. You are tempted every day to fall back into the kingdom of darkness. You are tempted every day, not from your heart, from your soul. So I'm making distinctions about who you are, and that there's a lag. You're not yet perfected. So don't be discouraged that you're not yet perfected. You will be. It's not up to you anyway. You're just a branch connected to the vine. And they're right there. That union right there. Heart to heart. You're already pure. Right there. Now, we need now to be purified in my soul. And that's what he's going to pick up right here. If you read the first chapter, you'd see he's only interested in the salvation of your souls. Souls. Psuche. Psuche is souls in Greek. So he's not interested in your new heart. You already have a new heart. So as Christians, you can rejoice because you have a new heart and just simply, without hypocrisy, say, I rejoice in God. And in fact, you can say it even without feeling it or experiencing it. You don't need a rhema. You don't need anything to do this. You can just say it right now. And as you speak, you're speaking into being that which is not yet seen. It doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear. So don't be surprised at that. So your body now is reflecting your soul, and your soul is not yet purified. It's okay. He wants it that way. You actually have to humble yourself every day and say those words which are not yet seeming to be true, but they are. So I say to Peggy every day, she can tell you, every day, you're the best, or I love you, or I'm so blessed to have you as a wife. I don't hesitate to say that. And now she's even starting to repeat that to me. That's a miracle. Right there is a miracle. It's powerful for people to talk heavenly language on earth. We've learned the language of heaven. And that's the problem in the church today. If you want to know why the church is in sorry shape, why it's lukewarm, that's easy. You're not reading your Bible. And when you read it, you don't read it with understanding. And that's because of the pastor. I'm Pastor David. That's because of Pastor David. No, it's not because of Pastor David. It's because God is now training us to be used to the light. You're being enlightened every day by the Holy Spirit. Every day. You have the Holy Spirit. You're already baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many know that is cleansing your soul? The Holy Spirit is cleansing your soul. So you are a spiritual being. Spirit, soul, and body, even though you don't yet see the latter two. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is powerful. So, wherefore, put away all malice. And what else? What else besides malice? It says here, all guile. All. Ha! Therefore, do it. But you have to do it by faith. You have to do it by faith on the second two. On the first one, you're all right. Because you have a new heart. You have a new spirit. You're spiritually born again. And you're going to inherit everything. Even if you died today, you're still going to inherit. Because at the last minute, when he comes back, the trumpet will sound and you'll have your new body and your new soul. Everything in the world is body and soul. There's no spirit to anything in this world. Everything in this world is dead. Except your heart. Your heart is not. And your soul is being renewed every day. You're being conformed. You're being conformed to the image of God, which is in your heart. You're being conformed to that, and your soul and your body are submitted to that. And you just, with self-control, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the last one. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit is Christians have self-control. You're able to put a, that's why he's saying it, wherefore, put aside, lay aside, remove yourself from all malice and all what?
Guile.
There'll be no more guilt in you. In fact, you don't have any condemnation hanging over you because of your heart. And your soul will be there, and your spirit, your soul and your spirit, and your body will also be in line when Jesus comes back. He cannot rule a people that are not spirit, soul, and body Christ-like. So he's busy. So don't think, it's not up to you to do this. It's not up to you to do this. If he began a good work in you, he will surely complete it.
Amen.
He never has started something that he didn't finish. As a matter of fact, every promise in here will come to pass. Will come to pass. In fact, before time ends. So in this world, it's not going to go out with, sadness and misery and so on and so forth. It will for the wicked, but not for you. This world is going to end with joy, unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
And you might as well start today. It's the language of heaven. In church, we laugh and we sing.
Amen.
And we give praise to God.
Hallelujah.
Because the best has been saved to the last. And we're in the last days. We're in the last days, David, when the gospel is fully preached. We preach it unapologetically. Let's say the whole of Dallas is pagan. It doesn't matter, because just one person is enough. One person, the prayer of one righteous man is enough to save the whole city. Because the harvest is ripe and laborers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest. Don't pray yourself. Don't say, well, I'll get busy and do something. No, don't do anything. The Lord himself. Now, he may tell you to do something, and he does, because you have a new heart. And your heart listening to God. So are you following me so far?
Yeah.
The best has been saved to the last. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. I know there's another 1,000 years and so on and so forth, but the other 1,000 years is the day of the Lord. Vengeance on the wicked and deliverance for us. We'll be in our perfect state during that 1,000 years, and we'll be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel.
Praise Jesus.
At that time. It's in the Bible. We might even read it today. It's in the Bible. So 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Wow. I can't even think of all those things. There's 5 of them there. Okay. Lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, and all evil speakings. So those 5 things have to be laid aside. I don't have any malice in me. Right. I'm not malicious toward anybody. Even the enemies of the gospel, I'm not malicious toward them because they're ignorant. David, they're ignorant. They really don't know the gospel like we do. They don't have the language of heaven. They don't have... His thoughts are not like our thoughts. He sees you as holy, even though you're not appearing to be such. You are. In God's sight, you're already, because he already knows who is going to go all the way and who is not. But it's not up to you. It's up to him. The good work that he began in you, he will surely complete. If you believe that, blessed are you.
Praise the Lord.
If you believe that the end is already seen from the beginning, it's just like Genesis has everything in Revelation. Everything is in Genesis that's in the book of Revelation. So Genesis is the acorn, and the full oak tree is Revelation. That's just what, but it was all in that little acorn. It was all in that little bitty nothing. It was all in there. But when you plant that, you just have to have time. You have to have time. And then it's there. But when God created the world, he created the oak tree right away. There was no time. This was before man came to notice that. Now, everything, you don't know if the chicken or the egg is first. You don't know how it works. In fact, he can make a tree without the acorn if he wanted to. I mean, he can do anything he wants. He's God. It's God. You are not God. Say it. I'm not God. That's good. That's good to remind yourself every day. You're not God. But you have a God that loves you. We're the only one that has a God that loves us. All the other gods are idols. They're nothing. They don't exist. Their ancestors are just concepts. They're human words. The whole world is built on humanism because he made you human. So, since he made you what you are, you imagine that the equipment that you have is enough to get you to heaven. It is not. The equipment that you have, your right reason, your moral conscience, and et cetera, et cetera, it's not enough. With the existence you have, it's not enough. With the essence you have to choose, it's not enough to get you into heaven. You cannot ever get to heaven by natural means. Nature will not get you to heaven. Nature knows nothing about God. Nature doesn't know anything about God. It doesn't know if there's 5 gods or 55 or 1 or several. It doesn't know anything. Nature doesn't know anything about your origin or your destiny. That's just nature. Nature itself has laws, and they're immutable. They can't be changed. That is, they're temporal. But in a little while, you're the new creation. Not like the old. There's never been a new creation like you. You are the most special people on the face of the earth. And especially you get to hear the good news.
God.
Amen? I could preach on this first verse for a year and not exhaust it. Because there's just five things here. Envies. You shouldn't be envious of anyone. Lay it aside. You shouldn't be in any way hypocrisy. You shouldn't be a hypocrite. I'm not a hypocrite. Because I actually learned the language of heaven and I speak as heaven speaks. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. I know in heaven, there's no time or space. So even though there's time and space down here, I speak it right into time and space. And it works. Because every time the word goes forth, it produces fruit. Never been a time that the word of God falls down flat. It actually is able to spring up. It's like the rain and the snow and the moisture and the sun and all that stuff. It makes something spring up. And it's new life. So we're giving new life to this world. Don't blame the wicked. Don't blame your enemies. Don't blame anybody. They don't have anything. They're not equipped. They're not new creations. You are a new creation. Powerful.
Amen.
Powerful.
Hallelujah.
That's so powerful. You're a new creation. Do you look like? No. You can't even see your heart. The secret things belong to God. The heart is secret. He knows your heart. You don't even know your heart. You don't even know where your heart is located. It's actually down here in the bowels. But nobody can tear out their bowels and find it. So you can't carve the heart out. We just speak humanly. And I used to be a humanist, as I was a human, but I'm no longer. I'm that no longer. I'm now a new creation, born of God, and His promises will cover me for my whole life. And those promises make me happy every day. You have never seen me sad, and you never will see me sad, because every day I'm happy. I don't have to feel it even. I don't have to feel it. I just say it by faith.
That's right.
It doth not yet appear, and I'm not even anxious about seeing it. A lot of people in our church are still waiting for the rhema, the experience, or something or other. I never wait. I never wait. I'm happy every day, and I don't really care how things appear, because this world is not home.
Amen.
Heaven is my home. That's where I'm going. Why? Because that's where I came from. The new creation comes from heaven, going back to heaven. New creation is not here. So lay aside, wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies. Those are things you need to lay aside. We're not hypocrites. We're the genuine, real thing from heaven. It doth not yet appear. Don't worry about appearing. It'll appear at the right time. Be patient. Be patient. I say so many Christians today are impatient. They're used to the American way of, you know, new and improved. Well, nothing that man makes is new and improved. Every sugar beet has the original DNA in it. And if you get with God, He'll show you secrets that you don't even know. It's the problem. The whole thing with kings, they should search out the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Well, I think our kings are not always paying attention to that. Our rulers, our public officials, they're not really paying attention to our rights and our privileges and our immunities and our prerogatives and our privileges. They're not paying attention to some of those things that God gave us. Since God gave them to us as new creations, oh no, they're actually given to everybody. Everybody on earth. They've forgotten where they came from. They've forgotten the rock from which they were digged. Actually, God gave this to everybody. Everybody has a conscience. Everybody has reason. But we have more than that. We have revelation. Old Testament, New Testament. We have promises, statements, and commands. But the commands actually secretly hide promises. Because all of his commands refer to Jesus. Every command that he's ever done refers to Jesus. N/A, not applicable to me. Not applicable to me. In other words, everything that's commanded of me, Jesus provides. Everything required of me to do, he's already done it for me. And now he's doing it in me. And that he will yet do it through me. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now that's good news, and you can't shake me from it. Because everything is going my way. Everything. Everything is going my way. Amen. Why? Because I can't lose. How can you lose when you've already won? How can you lose if you've already won? If God be for you, who can be against you? The answer is nobody. If God is for you, there's no one that can be against me. So if somebody enters the door with a gun in their hand and they want to shoot me, it's impossible unless Jesus approves it. You actually have to have Jesus' approval. Because not one hair on my head. There's nothing in me or about me that Jesus doesn't love. He gave me my ears and the nose and freckles, and I don't care what he gave me. Whatever he gave me is good. Why? And if you don't have ears and noses, that's okay. That's good too. Everything is good. You know, when Jesus loves you, it's unconditional. He doesn't love you because you don't sin. He loves you while you're yet a sinner. Amen? That's the good news. That's good news. I don't think any other God does that. Buddha doesn't do it. Muhammad doesn't do it. None of the other gods of this world, all those religions that aren't religions at all, they're just nothing but made up stuff. Why do the nations conspire? Why do the kings and all people in authority, why are they imagining vain things? Everything they imagine is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The very word that God spoke to me while I was in my schooling, very proud, very arrogant, and know-it-all, while I was there, thinking, I'm at the pinnacle. I'm in the best school. I had a Harvard scholarship. I could have gone to Harvard. But I rejected Harvard. Then I rejected New York City. They had another seminary there. I rejected that. And then I rejected Heidelberg, Germany, which is one of the top schools in the world. And then I rejected Scotland. I rejected everything that they had scholarships for them. I could come because I had good grades. So I could go anywhere I wanted to, and I chose Yale, but that's where he met me one day. I don't know if he would have met me in Germany or Scotland, Aberdeen, Scotland, one of the great seminaries of the world. And so I talked to other people to go in those places, but I didn't go. I had scholarships. And so I could go anywhere. And I chose to go here, Texas. And so now I'm at home. This is home. Chicago, that's not my home. But that's my home physically, but it's not my home. That's my native city right there. Chicago, where all the mafia and bad people are. Now, we don't have any mafia here. Well, there might be a few. Rather wealthy people, actually, in Dallas who have all kinds of prostitutes and so on and so forth that they deal with constantly. How do I know? Because our first church in Dallas was at the Melrose Hotel, which is their homosexual gathering place. And Tom Landry had a church there years ago before me. And he began to win over some of those homosexual people. And I thought, hey, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. And so I'm going to go there. I didn't really think that. Someone suggested that to me. You ought to go there. So, okay, whatever the field is, I'll go. And many were saved there. Amen. Many were saved there. Yeah. They're still on the streets. But they were addicted to their Mercedes-Benzes that you were allowed to have. And they were addicted to a lot of other financial blessings that they wanted. And so they stayed in that lifestyle. But it's all right. Because how many know that we have all the power? So you have to learn this gospel very, very effectively. But the top homosexual in Fort Worth, I saved him within 10 minutes. 10 minutes. The sister was in our church. I don't know if David remembers her. And she had a brother, and she said to me, "Hey, you know my brother is a homosexual." I said, "Fine. Have him call me." She was surprised at my answer. "Have him call me. I want to meet him." "No, he will never come to church." "No, he will come. Just call him and tell him Pastor wants to see you. Say, Pastor wants to see you." And he showed up. And within 10 minutes, he was born again. And I told him how to deal with his mother, how to deal with his father, and so on, by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't my own ideas, just ideas that the Holy Spirit gave me. I spoke them, and he believed. And when he was buried, because he had AIDS and all that kind of stuff, when he was buried, he had his funeral in our church, and it was the coffins right there, and so on and so forth. And every homosexual in Fort Worth had to be there. I mean, they were four in the aisles and in the everywhere you could speak. We had the biggest service ever.
Hanging out the windows.
Yeah, because he said to the homosexual community, "I'm a Christian now, and I want every one of you when I die, I want you to be there and hear the gospel preached by Pastor Jim and David." And we did. Were you at that funeral? It was powerful. And they were on the stage. I mean, they were everywhere. Because they were like, "This place is too small for us." You know, they have a big community. And they had the bar across the street, just down the road. And they also had a clinic right there. They had everything that they wanted. And now they're the church right next door to us. They're the church right next door to us. And they're always packed out. They're always packed out. Huh?
What is that?
Yeah, right.
You got to get them across the street.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because at the right time, when we're ready, everything will be given to us. I'm telling you, people are hungry for Jesus Christ and the truth. And so they believe lies until they hear the truth.
Right.
But the truth will set you free.
Hallelujah.
Forever. Forever. So everyone here has to know that the goal, 1 Peter 1:1, we're still there. I could preach on this, as I said, for a year. But I think these things are powerful. Wherefore, laying aside, all what?
Malice.
I mean, there's maliciousness in this world. There are lawless. There are lawless people out there. Isn't it wonderful to be in a lawless world?
Yeah.
When you have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like the prophets. It's like Jesus. It's like anybody. Martin Luther. It's like anybody. This is his 500th anniversary when he was born again. And he used those words. "I was set free that day." That was a powerful thing. And he changed the modern world. I'll say it this way. He created the modern world. Martin Luther created it. Why? But to do that, he had to abolish the hegemony that the papal party had over all of Europe. He had to do it. And it's never been the same. And that, it's in the Bible. That wounded head will be healed. That wounded head. I know you don't know where I'm going, but there is something here that the beast, the Antichrist, has a wounded head, and it'll be healed, and he'll become the Antichrist. I'm just telling you something. I'm telling you all of this is not natural. It's revelational. It's revealed by God, because today there's hope for everybody. If Israel hadn't been separated from Pharaoh, there'd be no hope for the Egyptian people. The only reason that God did that is not to punish Pharaoh. He wasn't trying to punish him. The only reason he did that was because there's no hope. If you retain these people, there'll be no hope for them. They've got to go to the promised land. So just go and tell Pharaoh, the God of the Hebrews is now talking to you. And he said, let my people go. Shalach in Hebrew. Shalach means voluntarily leave them go and pay them everything. Gold and silver. Just give them everything. Voluntarily. And Pharaoh knew that. He said, Are you crazy? Your God must be not a God at all. There's a slave people? That's kind of a crummy God. They're my slaves. They're not yours, God. And I'm going to argue with him and win the battle. I'll win the contest. I'll beat Santa Anna. I'll beat everybody. And so the Pharaoh was arrogant. And so God just said, well, without any force at all, I'll beat you. I'll just send frogs and gnats and storms and so on and so forth. And then you'll finally yield because the last one, the tenth one, and this will make you turn. And he just said that to Abraham. You'll do this and you'll do that and so on, but he won't. He will change his mind every time. You can go. No, you can't go. No, you can go. No, you can't go. When you let God's people go, there's blessings for everybody.
Amen.
Blessings for everybody. So religious liberty is the foundation of all just government. Religious liberty is the foundation of all just government. Religious liberty, I mean liberty, complete liberty. Let them go because they don't belong to you. They're God's people and we're God's people. We're part of God's people. We're God's people. You got to let us go. So that we can do all the signs and wonders and miracles. That's why we have to abolish first Pharaoh's power. We have to abolish his dominion, his claims, because he has no claims, because we're the foundation of him. Without him, there'd be no support. And his job is not to control the church. No 501c3s, no state incorporations, no local tax exemptions on your property. And that's why all churches have apostatized, because they take all those benefits. But you don't need them. You just got God. All you need is God. All you need is God. You don't have anything more than God, and you'll never have anything less, because God is God. And he wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have the inheritance. He wants you to have the prize. He wants you to have the everything who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I don't know why I'm preaching to you all these things, but they're in the Bible. These things are in the Bible. So I'm just telling you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Evil speakings. Has anybody spoken evil lately? Have you spoken evil to somebody? Hey, don't do that to me. And you evil spoke. You spoke something evil. I tell you, God hates evil. God hates evil. But he doesn't deal with it in the way you'd think, because he's not a human. He's not a man that he should repent. And so he just, without power at all, he is power. I mean, all power lies with him. If you have any power, it came from God. And if you have it and misuse it, he still may not take it away. Because he's using that to shape up his people. And today, people with power use the power against us. Let them. Come on, we can take on Baal. We can take on anything that the devil throws at us. Because the devil has no power. It never will have power. It cannot have power. It's forever powerless. He that is in us is greater.
Amen.
Is greater than he that's in the world. Don't you know that all of your victory, all of your health, all of your wealth, all of the things that the Gentiles seek, they're yours. They're yours. I'm not a faith teacher, because faith is always in God's faithfulness, not in faith. It's always in Jesus. It's not in faith. Faith itself is not a commodity. Faith, you can't have faith. Do you have faith? You don't have it. It's not a commodity. I have 4 pounds of faith today. You don't need faith. You have faith in God's faithfulness to keep his promise. There it is. There is the power. There's the power. Anyone that believes in God is powerful. Satellites, they don't mean anything to God. All man's inventions and so on and so forth, they're all for our pleasure anyway. You don't have any worry in this world. Now, if you believe anything I'm saying, and I can't make you, you just have to read the Word. And I know a lot of you don't read the Word every day. I do because I'm a pastor. David, do you read it every day?
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. Okay. Do you meditate on it every day?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, see, there you go. So you don't have to read it literally. You have to meditate on it night and day. Night and day. So I'm sure your dreams are just like mine. And God speaks to me in dreams. I have a lot. But He speaks to me and says one word or five words or something. And whatever He says, I get up and write it down. And it takes hours and hours and hours to discern what He has told me. And He does this. That's a man of God. Any man of God, if you do it in your own flesh, it's worthless. But if you do it in the Spirit of the living God, you have to be born again. Chair 4. Everything begins with born again. But that's just the beginning. Then you have to endure. Chair 5. And then the end is chair 6. And after that, you're a bride ready. Ready. Because love has been perfected in you. Perfect love casts out all fear. Anybody have fear? There's the verse. 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. So I don't have any fear. I don't care if I feel it or not. I don't have it. Can you say that? I don't have any fear.
I don't have any fear.
Right. That's your new man. You're learning the language of heaven is you don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. So the fact that things lag right now, don't worry about that. That's because, you know, the church is in sin right now. The wide church right now is Laodicea. Laos means people, and Dikia means righteousness, because we misunderstand the word righteous. So the people need to be under the true understanding of righteousness, justification by faith, chair 4, which always leads to sanctification by the Spirit, chair 5, which also then leads us to being led of the Spirit. We are now sons of God, lovers of Jesus Christ. Don't love ourselves anymore. We don't love anything in this world. We are ready for the Lord to come back and marry His bride. And we will then eat and drink in the kingdom of God. This is the Last Supper, He said, but henceforth I will never, ever eat and drink of this supper until I do it anew in the kingdom of God. That's a powerful thing. So that He's coming back for that. And the first thing He's going to do before He deals with the devil and false prophet and evil, all those evil people, don't worry about that. That's not His first thing. First thing is to marry us. That's the first thing on His mind, the bride. How's my bride? Well, are you part of the bride? If you are, you want to then reach, instead of 4, don't stop there, go on to 5. Trust Him. Trust and obey. That's 5 and 6. Trust and obey. So now I want to be a Christian, but I'm not yet. Okay, so that's because you trust, but you don't trust. Really trust. So once you believe that God is good and you meditate on those promises that He's made, beholding Him, we're changed. Beholding Him, we're changed. You're not changing by fasting. You're not changing by reading the Bible. You're not changed by any religious thing you do. You're changed by the fact that Christ is the object of your faith. Not your faith. Your faith is not the not. Your faith is not in yourself having faith. Your faith is Christ, Jesus Christ, and His words. Those are the things. I exalt my word above my name. So I live by that, and you can't shake me from it, because I'll die over it. I'm not afraid to die physically. But I may not die physically. I may die spiritually. As I like that. Being born again, and then filled with the Spirit, and then led of the Spirit? Because I haven't finished my course yet. I don't know when I'm going to die, because the devil has tried many times to kill me. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Because I haven't finished all that God told me to do, and I'm going to do it. Right? How come? Because God. What if he kills me? I don't care. I'll just trust somebody else will catch a hold of it. Maybe somebody here will actually replace me. I don't care. I don't care who does it, because I know it's a promise from God, and somebody else will do it. So there's all kinds of people that could do it. Praise God. Praise God. They're children. They're people that have learned. And so you never know what God's going to do, because he has all the surprises and the secrets inside of himself. But everything works together for our good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
Amen. So don't believe rumors, wars, and rumors of wars. You know, the president, what's that guy's name? Un or something like that, or Un or something. Whatever his name is, he's a silly guy, but he's not. He's serious. I believe that he's serious. I don't care if he's mentally unstable or not. He's serious about being lawless. He's serious about harming somebody. He has malice in him. That guy has malice on him. But you know what happens to malice people sooner or later, and I don't care when, sooner or later, they will meet their match. And they will come up against a power that's greater. Right now on earth, I'm sure God is going to use some power. Maybe it's, you know, us to stop what he's doing. Because he's a danger to the world. But don't worry about rumors of wars. They're a rumor. They're just rumors. They're wars. And I'm not trying to be like a TV person talking. I'm just saying to you, from God's point of view, the end is not yet. That this is not the end. Because you haven't been perfected. That's how I know it. I know it because, David, not everyone here has been perfected. So I want you to get these people perfected. Amen? Why? Why can I say that? Because it's easy. Because God has everything arranged for your salvation. He loves you. Even he loves in. Un.
That's right. Yeah.
Whatever his name is. That guy. Yeah. He loves that guy.
Yes.
Do you pray for him? I do. I pray for that guy. Because he has malice. He has evil speakings. He has envies. He has hypocrisies. He has guile. He has all those five things that are in chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Peter. It has all those things. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Newborn babies. Have you ever seen a newborn baby? They so hunger and thirst for milk. And they desire the pure milk. If it's contaminated, they will not take it. If there's any uncleanness, they'll not take it. They can't take it. And then their hunger is, they're having a big crisis right there. You know, they don't like that. Because they want pure milk. And so, therefore, breastfeeding is wonderful. God has two breasts. One is the left and one is the right. On his right hand is this world. Okay, I said that wrong. On his right hand is his left hand. Okay, so this world. On his right hand is the church. So, his breast for feeding us is empowered by his right breast. That was one they always exposed. In the ancient world, if you ever saw a god, like Sumers, the Sumerian gods, they always had their sheep skin right over them, and they had this uncovered because you had to draw your sword and you had to be ready to do it. Whereas the left breast, is for nourishment. So the king then, in the ancient world, a king had his sword to put people in line, and he was a shepherd on this side, nourishing his people. That's what I'm doing right now, because we're priests and kings. And so I'm nourishing you now with the Bible word, pure spiritual milk. No lies. No agenda. I don't have two agendas. I'm not trying to go somewhere or do something. I'm already finished. I'm ready to die, but I'm also ready to live. And so if I live, praise God. If I die, praise God. Same. It's the same. It's the same. Because this job will be finished. If he could speak to me, he could speak to you. So I'm not really worried about that. When God speaketh, he speaketh. Little babies like this, when they have that nipple, they're right. They want it right away. And they just right. I don't know how they even know when they just first come out. They're ready for that. And that first few hours is critical for the mother. Because she has all kinds of things in her that help that baby. By the way, I was raised that way because I was raised without a doctor. I was raised raw. And so there's no doctor around. He came later. You know, I didn't have birth certificates and all that kind of stuff. So I was a bastard. I was a bastard, complete bastard. And because I was ashamed to the family, because my mother was pregnant with me and didn't have a husband. They just slept with somebody and that's it. And one night stand, he'd gone. But I met him and later witnessed to him on his deathbed. I later witnessed to him about his deathbed. It's only three times that I saw him in my life. And then he was gone. And I was here in Dallas when he spoke those words at the Biblical Arts Center. I was there. And I preached that. And I think, Lynn, you might have even been there that night. I don't know if you can remember that. But I remember you were one of the first ones there. Because I remember you and your friend. They were right there. I remember that. It was an exciting night. And I prayed to God when I saw your father's dying, come right now. Well, I read that and went, I'm in the middle of preaching. So God, if you want me to stop this and get on an airplane and go, I'll do it. But I would prefer it, because it's interrupting the preaching right now. I'd prefer it if you leave him alive and doesn't die tonight. I don't want you to die tonight. So here's my deal. This is my deal. I'm going to make a deal. I'm like Trump. I have a deal. Here's the deal. I want you to keep him alive until tomorrow. I'll get on an airplane and go. And I want to finish this message because it's a good message. And then I want him to be stone cold sober when I see him, not on drugs and, you know, all the stuff he's on. And I want, no matter what, that he's ready to die and so on. I just cancel that. So, well, he agreed with that. How do I know? I don't know. I had a peace in my spirit to go ahead. So now I'm taking a risk that my dad, my biological father, I've never seen. Never even knew about him. That guy is going to die right now. And he lived. So it's powerful. Because when I went there, and one day I was sitting there waiting for him to call me. And they said, well, he's on morphine or all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, yank all that stuff out. I want to talk to him stone cold. I was speaking to the nurse. I want to talk to him. And she was a nurse, but she said, well, I don't have any power. Well, the doctors do. Well, call him. Call him. Tell him I want to see my father. I've come all the way from Texas to see my father. And since he's still alive, and I went and talked to him, and he was in a coma, and he couldn't talk back, and wouldn't wiggle his fingers or anything like that. So I don't know if he can hear me or not hear me, but I'm a man of God, so I'm here. And I want to witness to him. And so he finally, that day I went home and I said, God, you didn't answer my prayer. And I'm impatient for that because he's going to die soon. So I want you to answer my prayer. The next day I went and the same thing. So I spoke to him and told him the gospel and explained all about Jesus. And you're not going to go to heaven because you're, you know, Jehovah Witness and so on and so forth. And then the next day I came and I said, God, this is the third day. That's in the Bible. Third day you heal. So all of a sudden I'm sitting in the room and they call my name over the megaphone or over the loudspeaker thing. And I had a code for, you know, this is important or something. So I went down to the room and I remember he had all the tubes, everything was okay. and he was stoned. You know, they took him off the medicine and everything, so I could talk right to him. So I said, "Dad," and big smile came on his face when he saw me, and his eyes, blue eyes, like you know, pools of water. I mean, beautiful blue. I remember looking in that eyes, looking right at me, and I said, "Dad, I've only come to tell you two things. Number one, Jesus loves you, and so do I. You're my father, and I want to tell you the gospel." And I asked God 20 minutes. I want to do this for 20 minutes. 20 minutes later, I was done. In walks the wife, who, you know, shouldn't like me, but she did like me. And because when we met, he said these words, "What is your mother's name?" So I mentioned my mother's name. And when I did that, he went, "Oh." And then he said, he apologized for something that he wanted to raise me, but he didn't, or something like that. Anyway, and then the wife said to him, turned right to him and said, "George, this is your son, Jim." And it's like, wow. And then anyway, everything worked out, and I met my homosexual sister, I met my lesbian sister, I met everybody that I could meet, and they were all wonderful. In my family, they were normal, but, you know, in any other else's family, it would be abnormal. But they were just, one was aborted, one was in the nut house, and the other one was a, you know, slept around and so on. So I knew, these are my sisters. These are definitely my people. I could have a church of 5,000 if I wanted to, and go and preach to the brothels, because I know how to talk to prisoners. I know how to talk to mafia. I know how to talk to wicked people, because I was raised that way. And so anyway, my father then listened to all my thing, and he cried. The wife walked in and said, "Jim, do you know why he's crying?" "No." "Do you know why his tears are running down his face?" "It's not just because you're here. It's because he said on Thursday night when we brought him in, Evelyn," or whatever his name was, her name, I can't remember, I will not die until I see my son Jim." He had made that prophetic statement. I'm not going to do it. I don't care about all the kids. That was the one. I want that one. Jim. And so I'd only seen him twice, and it was very brief. But now, third time I saw him. So I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I don't know if he received any of the words that I said, but he heard the gospel for sure. So I'm believing he's in heaven, but I don't really care. It's not none of my business. God knows the secrets of everybody. But I do know this. I saved my other third father. I've saved my second, meaning I preached to him the gospel. And I know my third father, which I call Adolf Hitler, he actually he became born again. He read this book that I gave him about how to live like a king's kid. Did you ever hear that? By Hill. And he read that, and he was like, my father was a master plumber. Machinist, you know, like his father before him, and so on and so forth. And so he loved reading that book, and at the end it said, how to get saved. And he read that, and he became a king's kid. And the next time I saw him, he said, "Jim, I have a surprise for you. I'm a king's kid." And for 8 years, mother was already born again. She was already saved. And a wonderful testimony, a powerful testimony. She lived here even. Some of you met her. But then she and he had a happy marriage from that point on. And it was miserable before that. It was hell. And it was great. So God is good.
Amen.
How many know that if God can do one miracle, he can do two?
Amen.
One for you. One for you. He can do them every day. I believe that God always does miraculous things every day with anybody that belongs to him. All you have to do is ask. Just ask.